Wednesday the 25th of February, base was Chodesh Adar, Dr. Shloimer Adler Shlita, share number 999, biological references in Chazal.
He's covered for me to be asked to say it about how to this gathering. I chose a subject which perhaps is not generally well appreciated, which carries tremendous Mamre Chazal, and I'll explain in a moment where they are and try and guide you through the classification of the higher mammals. It's interesting to realize that the classification of the higher mammals was not until about the 17th, 18th century, because the zoology was confounded by travelers' tales and mythical animals, and it was impossible to create any sort of order. It's in the 18th century, Owen, the zoologist, was the first who proposed a classification for the mammals, and in fact his classification tallies very accurately with those of Chazal. Now let me begin with the Psukim in the Torah first, and then gradually develop the Gemara and develop the conclusions. In Shmini, the Torah talks of Gomer, Narneves, and Shofar. The Torah says that Behemoth Tahara has to have a Maligero or Mafis Parso, but unless this is accurate and equal between the animals, it's not acceptable. The Gomer has a cloven hoof, but it's not completely cleft, and the toes are glued together by a pad underneath the foot, which the animal of course uses walking in the desert, and you can't separate the cloven hoof. That's it's enomafres. The lotion, the posuk, is enenomafres. The cleft is not existing, but en is always a limited statement. In other words, it has a cloven hoof, but it's not completely cloven, it's got the pad. Whereas in the case of Aneves and Shofon, the Torah says Aneves lau yafres and lau hifriso. There is no cloven hoof. In fact, at first sight it seems difficult to understand why the Aneves and Shofon should be mentioned in this context at all. They're not Maligero, and they're not Mafres Barso. Torah might have mentioned any kind of animal, just to point this out. But I personally believe that there is an important fact behind the Aneves and Shofon, because they are small animals, but they've got what is called a cheek pouch, which gets filled as they eat, and very often after food they press with their paw and the food is ejected. And this looks like Maligero. There are two types of pouch, that's why there are two types of animal. They are in fact not Maligero, but it looks as though they're Maligero, so that Israel shouldn't be confused and say, you've got a Maligero here as well. And therefore, the Torah chooses these two animals. They are the hamster and the goff rat. I don't think Aneven shows need necessarily be translated by hare and whatever, but the Torah probably, I think, refers to these two species, the hare, the goff rat, in the hamster. The next station is in Chulin, Nuntes. The Gemara gives us a classification of the higher mammals, which are Toha. There are two types of higher mammal. One mammal has got a hoof, and the other mammal has got a cloven foot. The animal which has a hoof, like the horse, of course excluded, because they're not Toha at all. And the animal which have got a cloven hoof are divided into two categories. The one category is behemo, and the other category is chayo. The behemo is different from the chayo in the antlers, in the horns, in the projections from the forehead. When we learned this many years ago with Leta Munk, there was a gentleman in the audience who said, oh, Chazal always seem to choose some absolute irrelevant fact in order to make their point. And I was upset at the time, and I in fact went into the problem. And in the classification of the animals today, Owen's classification works exactly on these points. The domesticated animals have got horns, which are solid. They've got a smooth surface. They're not shed, but if they are shed, they won't regrow. And the chayas, which we call the wild animals, the deer and similar species, have antlers. They have horny projections which are rough, they haven't got a covering, and they are shed yearly, and they regrow. And in between lie the kui, has different sides. In fact, the horns are covered by skin, and it's in fact the horns which classify higher mammals completely. And therefore, the statement of Razal is quite remarkable. The kui is the giraffe and the okapi. They are animals, free living animals, they're kosher. But the okapi lives in deep jungle and is rarely seen. But the natives seem to give the phonetic name is koi, which sounds very much like kui. And therefore, these are the animals on a classifying basis which lie between chayo and behemo. Another important point which Chazal make is that if an animal has no shinayim lemalo, has no upper teeth on the upper gum, then it is maligero and it is tohar. And this is a tremendous concept. How did Chazal know all this? How did Chutzit know these are heavy animals? You can't bring them to one central station and say these are the signs and this is what makes them kosher animals. But the Gemara goes further. The Gemara says, what about the Gomel? The Gomel has nevis, it's got incised of teeth, so they're excluded. What about the young Gomel, which hasn't grown yet, which hasn't got the nevi yet? So the Gemara says, Ovevachi Yachya ben Gomel. In fact, all this carries a tremendous amount of knowledge. How Chazal could know this is quite impossible for us to know or to believe. Where they gather the information from, the Moses goes further. Omer Rabbi Shmuel, Shalet Valoma Yadea, that the Chazir is Mafresh Parson, it's not Malagero. And obviously the Chazal include the Chazir and the boar. The domesticated pig and the boar, which is a pig animal, because the more wings and Kilayim that to draw a carriage, there's a Chazir and boar are two different animals, and they are Kilayim. You mustn't use them together to draw a carriage. Again, the moral says is the Taras Min HaShemayim was the Mashi Kenigah, the Lizard, was the hunter to know this, and I think even if he had been a hunter, he wouldn't have been able to realize all this, to compare the various sites. I mean, you've discovered since then the prairies and the jungles and huge areas which cover all types of animals, and yet none of these statements have been proved incorrect. The Gemara goes on after we've separated the behema and the deer, the sea, that the simonim of the behema are the horns, which are not shared, we said, and of course the behemoth, the difference between behemoth and the bovine is that the behemoth is mutal mizbeach, and therefore the dam does not need kisui, whereas the chayas are not mutal mizbeach, and dam of the chayas has to have a kisui dam after the Shchit. the horns also are hollow. It's called a hollow horn, and the simone of the antlers of the chayas are discussed in the Gemara. First of all, it's a question of pitzulas. If they are mefatzel, if they divide in branches as the branch of the deer very often, then Nadine Veladine, this is a chayav. And I think the more means here pitzul, repeated branches. That's why they use the expression of pitzul, because we'll talk later about the pronghorn antelope, in which there was a sophit that has one prong, one the horns is divided once. And when the Gemara says here that it's mefatzel, I think Gemara means repeatedly branching. The other signs of the antlers are that they are rough, the surface is rough, and that they are twisted. Gemara says, Varitzvi, who hasn't got branched antlers, which doesn't mean, I think, that there is only a tree which has got one branch, which has got straight antlers. The Gemara says, there is a type of tree which has straight antlers, which doesn't branch. The branching is not an important sign as such. If it's not branched, it can be a chayim, but it's rare amongst the chayas. Similarly, Gemara then describes the simonim. If it's not mefatzel, then you have to have three simonim: the chaduas, Keruchas, Chaduras, V'charuchas, that the antlers are twisted and hollow, Chadugas Satis Hollow, like a chela, and the rough surface of the antler is rough. Now, this is, makes it difficult, because we said the horns of the behemoth are hollow horns, the antlers are solid. Therefore, there's the Gelsis Oroch, which I think is very acceptable, who says the reading should be not Chaduras, but Haduras. In other words, to describe the feature of the antlers, that they are shed and they come back. And this is a very important simon of the antlers of Chayo. Then the Gemara leads on and says, a very rare animal in our part of the hemisphere. It's prevalent in Central America, which is quite a big, takes quite a, you know, millions of animals. That is a carcass. It's remarkable how the Chazal realized the existence of this animal. It happened to be that the Reshkelusa had one species, had one animal in his care, and the Gemara says the difference between is a carcass a machlaukas amaroim, whether is a carcass is a behemoth or is a chayo. And the features of this is a carcass is called a pronghorn antelope. Now the antelope is a behemoth, and it has a pronghorn, which is really that the horn is also of a behemoth, but the unusual sign is that it's shed, and this doesn't occur with the other behemoths. It's shed and regrows, it's the features of the antler. Therefore there was a machlokes between the Amoroim whether the pronghorn antelope should be considered a behemoth or chayo. One of the Amoroim says, I fed myself with the chelev of the is a carcass. In other words, I saved a lot of money. I could eat the chelev. In other words, it's the chayo. The other said, the other Amar said that it must be a behemoth because of the horns, which are similar to the horns of a behemoth. I've tried to show how the really remarkable Mamore Chazal, which I involved in this classification, and I hope have sort of created interest that you follow up and try and go through these Gemaras and try and see for yourself the Tower, that the Tower is Min HaShemayim. Was Moshe Knieger Lister that he would say, make all these statements? The answer is, it's his Tower Min HaShemayim.